Buddhahood quickly. And that's simply because you were born there and able to live in infinite life, like Buddha Amitabha. And that's why, as a human being in this world, we have very limited life expectancy. If we want to learn more Buddha Dhamma, just want to be sure to show to other people as a knowledgeable person, and then we'll be able to cheat and confuse other people more. That's not the purpose of cultivating all Dhammas. That is actually a confusion. The true practice is to concentrate one's mind in one practice in this short limited lifetime to reach samadhi and high concentration and pure mind. There are many records in the Chinese Dhamma practitioners in their old age. They all awakened and dropped whatever Buddha Dhamma they've been practicing and pick up the Amitabha method, chanting Amitabha's holy name repeatedly. I make the same mistakes. With a greedy mind in learning Buddha Dhamma, I have learned so many Dhammas, and that's actually an indication of comic obstacles, because too greedy to learn too many things and unable to concentrate and able to have the true pure mind appear. If you concentrate with a single mind in one direction under one method, then you're going to realize and have tremendous discovery in searching of the Dhamma. In this year, 1994, I give a talk, actually a series of lectures on the teachings about Amitabha Sutra. I have new discoveries, new inspirations when giving the same subject. And I take a look at my previous teachings, compare with the inspiring teaching that I made this year. Last year's became garbage. And I also know from experience, if I keep teaching the same subject, looking back of the so-called discovery of this year, will be again like a garbage when compared with next year's new inspirations and or new insights. So when can I stop and put all my teachings and compile into a book as suggested by my students? I'm afraid the only time I can do that is the time when I pass away. Because every year you put your effort into practice, you concentrate in one direction single-heartedly, and you have more discovery, more inspirations, and better insights. And that's actually a reflection of your mind is relatively pure year after year. And the vows to be born, the wishes to be born into our pure land, stronger year after year. So if we truly put our practice into one direction, day after day, year after year, even though you only concentrate in one direction, using one method, or reciting one sutra, you will have a tremendous discovery when reading this, or taking this single approach. But if you ask yourself, how come I don't have this kind of discovery or inspiration? That's because you haven't penetrated deep enough to enjoy the joy of Dhamma. The ninth great vow is to always tolerate and benefit sentient beings. The previous great vows are cultivation corresponding to oneself. This great vow is an item dealing with others. I remember many friends or students told me with a sincere heart that their friends, neighbors, or somebody believe in the evil religion or marching toward the wrong direction. How do I save them? I asked him, do you think Guanyin Bodhisattva is very compassionate or not? He said, yes. Do you think Amitabha Buddha is very compassionate or not? He said, yes. I said, they are so compassionate and they don't say a word. Why should you worry so much? Because everything in this world has its own karmic reasons. When the cause and condition has not reached your full maturity, you just can do nothing about it. The Chinese proverb says, if you want to reach the goal with eager mind, try very promptly, you may never get there. So we need to practice patience. When the time and condition has arrived, then we can do things that we think is proper. So when the conditions and time has not arrived, then we just put all our efforts to save ourselves by working harder or diligently. So when the cause and condition has reached a proper timing, then we come out and save others. But if you've been worried too much, the time has come, but you are not ready. You did not study real hard. You did not perfect your skills, knowledge, and so on and so forth. Then that's a total waste. So when the time has not come, then it's time for us to practice. I remember before I became a monk, among my colleagues, there's one gentleman, very devoted Christian. He later on became a Buddhist. But because of that, he has very serious family problems. And the wife threatened him for divorce unless he give up Buddhism. So he was very worried and perplexed, asked me how to do about this. I said, that's fine. Just drop your Buddhism, go to church with her, and make her happy. He said, then I'll become a Christian and I go to a different direction. I said, that's fine, then you'll be born to heaven. And remember, in the sutra, the many Dharma teachings were given in heaven because in the heavenly king, heavenly fathers, they respect Buddha and request a lot of Dharma teaching. And from there, you'll get all the teachings. Right now, respect your wife's wish and go to church with her. This is a statement that I made to my friend out of the number 9 great vows, to tolerate and even benefit others. And that's why with this teaching, the number 9 vows, I become good friend of Catholic fathers and reverends of Christianity. The last great vow is to dedicate marriage universally to all sentient beings. Whether it's a great mind, great vows, or great cultivations, or wonderful merits, all these should be dedicated to sentient beings in the whole universe or Dharma too, and not to keep to oneself. Because only by doing this, one can broaden up one's mind to an infinity. Otherwise, the self nature will be limited. When the mind is broadened up to an infinity, then becomes the Dhamma Dhatu, and the complete Dhamma Dhatu, or the whole universe, is the complete true mind. The average people becomes average people because they always want to keep things to themselves. But Bodhisattvas are different. They have such a huge, broadened mind, always thinking about others, always benefit all sentient beings in the whole Dhamma Dhatu. And that's why this number 10 great vow is a teaching from the universal worthy Bodhisattva to all other great Bodhisattvas. The Manjushri Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, represents the perfection of wisdom of self-nature. The universal worthy Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, represent complete perfection of great activities and cultivations. With such great achievement in wisdom or cultivation, how come these two great Bodhisattvas still make vows to be born into the pure land of Amitabha's world? This question bothered me for quite some time. And then one day I realized, if the great Bodhisattvas, even though they are so wise and so great, without born into the pure land, they cannot perfect their Buddhahood. They cannot obtain the supreme enlightenment. So, if a Bodhisattva is truly wise, he wants to become Buddha completely, then the best shortcut is to be born into the pure land, and through the Amitabha's blessing, the great Bodhisattva's supreme spiritual achievement can be obtained. We are the ordinary people, and we know this method. We set our hearts to the Western Pure Land and recite Amitabha's Buddha name. And if we can be born into the Pure Land at the end of our lifetime, the universal worthy Bodhisattva will clap his hand to welcome us and praise us for being very lucky and very wise, because he has tried and worked very hard for eons and eons of time and finally born there. Why he didn't go there, he didn't born there earlier? Because he did not know this method, or if he knew, he may not believe that. And now, just by reciting single-heartedly on Amitabha's holy name, we obtain such supreme benefits. That's why the great Bodhisattva once met us over there in the Pure Land will give us a warm welcome and a high compliment. And that is also the supreme goal of Buddha Sakya Muni, to promote Buddhism and wish sentient beings to obtain the supreme benefit by born into the pure land of the ultimate bliss. By now, we have completed the six key items of Mahayana the Buddha Dhamma of Mahayana Buddhism. These six items are, in summary, 3 felicities, 5 virtues, 6 harmonies, 3 steps of spiritual practices, 6 paramitas, and 10 great vows. And after this, you have a understanding of the key or essence of Buddha Dhamma, particularly the Mahayana Buddhism. And then in the future, if your friends ask you, what does the sutra teach about? Who is Buddha? You're going to have a better concept and able to answer them with satisfaction. And if they ask you, what method do you cultivate? What do you cultivate? You can say, I cultivate to be enlightened, to be righteous, and to be pure. And he may ask you, what method do you use to practice? You can answer him, I use the 3 felicities, 6 harmonies, and 10 great vows. So, with the understanding of the 6 main, the key items, you have a general but essential understanding of Buddha Dhamma. And that's the end of tonight's lecture.
Dear Dhamma masters and fellow practitioners, please open up the material and take a look at the 3rd paragraph in Chinese. The sutra says, wherever Buddha's teaching prevails, which refers to Buddha's teaching is widely spread and followed. In those areas, whether in the great nation or remote areas, all people receiving Buddha's teaching will perform moral conducts. As such, the whole wide world will be in great peace and harmony. Even the sun and the moon shines in the sky in proper order, and there will be no storms or strong wind, and there will be no natural disasters. Country will be in good health, and people will be in great harmony. There will be no need to use weapons or soldiers. Everyone loves to cultivate virtues and moral conducts. Everyone respects each other, and therefore there will be no theft or robbery in the country. There will be no complaints whatsoever, because the stronger one will not defeat the wicked one, and everybody is happy in where they are. From the above mentioned sutra, it clearly describes the 2 benefits of a Buddha education. The above mentioned sutra, a statement, was quoted from the Infinite Life Sutra, and it came from a very important part of that sutra. It says, wherever Buddha's teaching prevails, means wherever the Buddha Dhamma education is popular and widely followed, in those areas where it may be a country, maybe a city or maybe a village. 12 different types of true benefits can be realized from the peace of the world to happiness of individuals. There are a total of 12 types of true benefits. A famous Buddhist scholar, Mr. Mei Guangxi, he is famous in the south part of China, just like the famous Buddhist scholar and practitioner Xiaolinji in the north area of China. They all have great understanding and strong influence to the modern Mahayana Buddhism in China. Mr. Mei Guangxi once said, in order to promote Buddha Dhamma in today's world, we need to promote the Pure Land teachings. In order to promote the Pure Land teachings, must first promote the Great Sutra, which means the Infinite Life Sutra. If everyone can practice the Great Sutra, then the universal law of cause and conditions will become very clear in everyone's mind, and therefore everyone's body and mind will be pure. And I have my personal interpretation of this purity of body and mind. That is, if the mind is pure, then the environment automatically becomes pure. And then the bad time of this world will automatically turning around and peace will arrive. The above are statements made by Mr. Mei Guangxi. But in reality, it is not that easy, because even all Buddhas mentioned that Pure Land teachings are very difficult to believe. Although since ancient time, we have many great scholars, masters, and teachers promote Pure Land, but the result was not as good as it should be. The main resistance or obstacle came from the reasoning or the explanation of a Pure Land is not that easy. Except those students or disciple who has excellent good karma in the Buddha Dhamma accumulated from previous lifetimes. And these kind of people are usually not very many. For those people, the majority of people, their karma in the Buddha Dhamma are not so profound and still practice Amitabha Nin, the result usually not as good as it should be. And yet, if a person knows sincerely, knows thoroughly the true benefit of obtaining Amitabha Nin, and just by doing such a simple practice, will be able to be born into Pure Land and suffer no more. It is only for those who has great and deep, profound, good karma to be able to do that. Although the short version of Amitabha Sutra describe in very simple language about the Pure Land, but there's a lot other meanings, not totally revealed. And therefore, it is necessary to study all main sutras and sastras of the Pure Land School. But once a person studies the five main sutras of the Pure Land School, then they become confused or perplexed. And that's why I promote we as a student, as a person who believe in Buddha Dhamma, but karma in this area is still not profound enough. We need to first recite, chant the Infinite Life Sutra. If we recite and chant daily of this Infinite Life Sutra, then the faith will be gradually become stronger. Otherwise, just tell people the right thing to do without proper preparation spiritually, then they still chant Amitabha, but the result and effectiveness will not be there. On the other hand, if one start with more recitation and chanting daily on the Infinite Life Sutra, the true faith will be generated. With true faith, then recite Amitabha's name, the result can be very good. Many people ask me, and particularly those in mainland China, ask why Venerable Jing Kong always promote the chanting of this sutra. They even ask a great scholar, Mr. Huang Lianzhu, over Peking. And Mr. Huang said, this is the sincere attitude and insight of Venerable Jing Kong. In the Buddha Dhamma, it says the environment changes according to the change of the mind. Nowadays, many governments are promoting or taking actions against the contamination of the earth from all aspects. But from Buddhism point of view, the result won't be so pronounced, because whatever we can do to the material environment is dealing with the result. The root cause lies in the mind. And the scientists also predicted waste contamination today continues for 50 years, then this earth will no longer be fitable for living, for human being to live. So the real root cause should be dealing with the mind and should start with the purity of the mind. And that's why since ancient time, great masters realized this point and promote actively the teachings of the Pure Land. Today, the world is in great chaos. All people wish to have a good government and put the social order, society in proper order. And everyone do sincerely wish the whole wide world will be in peace and harmony. And all and everyone do realize we need to quickly do something about this and turn the bad timing of bad environment around and change out violence. And wish all sentient beings, in order to do that, all sentient beings need to bear a good heart, do good things, speak good statements, and act as a good person. In order to reach these four good things, the only way to be able to reach this goal is education, the education of complete enlightenment. And to do that, we need to collect all the great statements, words of wisdom from ancient sages and holy people in China and all other and other countries as well, because to establish the common understanding. Because today is a democratic society or time. One theory or philosophy with authority cannot govern or rule other theories. And no one would follow the same one dictatorship type of theory or authority. Because this society is a society of freedom in speech, freedom of thinking, and freedom to establish groups or organizations. Buddha also said, in order to have the same understanding, practitioners need to have or share the same viewpoints. In order to cultivate harmoniously, practitioners need to share and follow the same precepts. So I'd like to give you an example of how to establish common understanding by giving you the true example in the Chinese history. In the Qin Dynasty, there are three great emperors, one following another, the emperor Kangxi,雍正, and Qianlong. They are not the Chinese, they are Manchurians. And yet they ruled China with great success. And how do they rule the country so successfully? Because they made a rule to themselves in the palace that everyone should read the Infinite Life Sutra. And also use that to teach all the people that one should do all the good things. And the reasoning behind that was not because it's said by the emperor, particularly emperor from the border area. They quote the holy statements from Buddha's teaching, and this is the cleverness of these emperors, because the Chinese people probably going to have a different opinion about these people as dictators. But when they quote the holy statement and they also abide by these words of wisdom, then all people in China at that time completely convinced, and they all together create very harmonious society. And that was a tradition for the Qin Dynasty's emperor of each generation. Until the later time of the Qin Dynasty, the Venerable Lady Cixi, Taihou, decided to drop this reading of Infinite Life Sutra. And because of that political decision, the Qin Dynasty gradually going downhill. If they do not remove this good habit, this traditional policy, today we probably still the citizen of the Great Qin Dynasty. Therefore, to establish common understanding, today we need to use the Great Sutra for ourselves. In order to establish common understanding for the whole wide world, we need to use all the holy statements, words of wisdom from all the great peoples in history, and use that as common understanding, and that will convince people of different kind. There are numerous precious teachings through times and in different places and countries. Take the Chinese history, for example. In the Ming Dynasty, Emperor Yongle was a great emperor. He has put effort together and compiled a great collection of Yongle. In the Qing Dynasty, the Kangxi Emperor, Emperor Kangxi, did the same thing by compiling all the great books into one, into a huge volume. It's called a complete collection of all books. And then in the Qianlong, Emperor Qianlong, in Qin Dynasty, he did even a greater job. Through his effort, a great encyclopedia of Si Ku was established. By the way, we do have such an encyclopedia of this huge volume in the next door, room 501. Unfortunately, the children of China today cannot read the ancient wisdom written in these great collections of encyclopedia. I remember one time when I visited to a famous Chinese bookstore in Taiwan, a publisher, Shangwu Yinshuguan. That person told me if a person is born and assume he can read right away, to read the great encyclopedia of Si Ku, Quan Shu, until the age 120 years, he still cannot finish the reading. So, after I heard this statement, who has the courage even try to start reading? But if we do not read or study such great collection of the ancient wisdom, we really are not good children of the Chinese tradition and culture. So for many years, I contemplate about this question, how do we make this huge volumes in the Chinese traditional collection of traditional books, and also the Buddhism's canon, to make them readable. How do we summarize the important parts of huge volumes and make a small book so everyone can read? And the principle, I believe, is to compile essential statements, the important statements, which is not complicated because modern people don't have the patience, and those which are feasible, easy to carry out in daily life, put into books. And this summarized books can be distributed around the world so everyone can study and benefit from it. So I was thinking about this for many years, and now it seems to be possible. The Christianity has the Holy Bible, which is not much at all when compared with Buddhism's sutras and sastras. My wish is to collect the holy, valuable statements from the Chinese tradition, traditional books, and also Buddhism's wisdom into a small book, which may be only 50% thickness or size of the Bible. And if we can achieve this, then we can make the ancient wisdom alive again and distribute to all people. And then we will be a good children of the Chinese tradition, and we will be able to return the kindness of the ancient ancestors. There are many wise maxims from the ancient time. However, because it's ancient, the language is kind of deep, too deep to understand. But we noticed in some popular books available in the bookstores, such as the Moral Conduct Collection for the Youth, the Yan Shou Yao Yan, and a Talk of the Vegetable Roots. That's a pretty popular books for individuals' moral conduct and cultivation. But the Yan Shou Yao Yan, that book was not that easy to read. We need to collect the ancient maxims and compile into books like just mentioned above, so that people don't have to spend time looking for these statements. I'd also like to recommend the principle of compiling such words of wisdom into popular books or pamphlets. Number one, to take those easy to read and short sentences. Do not take lengthy statements. Number two, to take those important and practical teachings, and do not take those impractical metaphysics. Number three, to take those true stories or cases that is benefits to individuals' moral conduct, happiness of the family, and successful career, because those are practical and is concerned by everyone. And also we need to collect based on the principle that is good for and also recognized by all religions and countries and people, or even between academies. We should do so that all people, all religion, feel those collections is true to their traditional thinking, and therefore eliminate or minimize the gap between nations and religions and so on and so forth. And those statements, still good for the harmonious society, good for a prosperous country, good for the peace of the world. And those is the principle that I recommend should be based upon to collect as popular booklets for daily use. So if we could successfully, if it can be accomplished, to compile the words of wisdom of the ancient people and compile into booklets so that modern people can use on a daily basis and be benefited from it. When I give a Dharma talk, it was not here, but some other place, I did a teaching for the first time using the famous precept master Hong Yi Da Shi, his work called Wan Qing Ji. And that book was compiled by this great master, taken famous and practical statements from Buddhism and made a total of 101 statements. They are not related to each other, but every single statement are the valuable, precious teaching. And after I give that talk, concentrate about this 101 statement. Everyone participating that attending that Dharma meeting was very happy, and myself also very happy teaching this 101 statement. Then I realized why to give a complete teaching of a sutra may not reach the same result, because if I am committed to give a sutra from the beginning to the end, then I have to talk every part of the sutra, and you, without choice, have to listen to all parts of the sutra. And the sutra may have some part that may not be so practical in your daily life. It may have some parts that's too deep to understand.